Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Welcome to the Don't Break the Earth podcast. Right, today we are speaking to
Alison Lauren,
who is
a member of the Aetherius Society.
Obviously, we get to speak to her about
the planets, weren't there? From what NASA's hiding from the public, the spirit world. I think we touched on the spirit world as well. Whilst we did a brief summary of who Count Saint Germain is.
Yeah. And I managed to disagree with Gandhi.
Well, yeah. Well.
And then, you know, well, I tried to get my head around exactly what was being said, essentially. But, you know, I'm halfway there now.
Well, yeah, so. I mean, you're a fence there, really. Yeah. I'm sitting on a fence with this. But I quite enjoyed it because I studied it and learned this for many years. So, you know.
But I still thought Alison was great, you know.
Oh, yeah, she was great.
She answered all the questions. And, you know, she got me a little bit halfway, like I say, halfway there towards understanding what's going on.
We also touched on the alien business as well, didn't we? Who are the real aliens and, you know, who are the imposters?
Yeah, there's loads of shit there to get your teeth into.
Yeah.
Just before we get into it, obviously we're still running the competition for the T-shirts.
Yep.
Okay, so all you got to do is email us with the six countries you think listen to the podcast the most. So when you send your email, it's just 1, Mexico, 2, Chile, 3, Brazil, 4,
America, whatever.
Argentina.
Yeah.
And until you've done your six, and then whoever gets the closest or gets exactly the right answer, obviously.
You get a T-shirt. I'll tell you, the T-shirts are absolutely fantastic.
Yep.
You know, you're missing out. If you go for this competition, I mean, that, you know.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the T-shirts, go to our YouTube channel. Just type in Don't Break the Earth Podcast on YouTube. You'll find that. We've got a little T-shirt video on there. Or go to the website. Or go to the Paranormal Hangout on Facebook. And then obviously you'll see people who have already bought the T-shirts pitched on there. But, so that being said, right, let's get on with the show.
Yep.
So we give you
Alison Lauren.
Yes, well, my name's Alison Lawrence, and I've been with the Aetherius Society for many years. I don't really want to say how many at this stage.
That's okay.
But I knew Dr. King, and I've had many sightings. I mean, I've looked at other organisations. I haven't found anything that really holds the candle to the Aetherius Society. It covers many aspects of metaphysical teaching. And we're in the space age now.
Yep.
And I'm a firm believer. I'm a follower of the ancient alien theorists that we've been watched for many years, if not thousands of years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And why would they stop now? Now that we know we've got the atomic bomb and we're sending rockets to the moon and even thinking of sending one to Mars, you're going to tell me that they've suddenly lost interest in us? I don't think so at all.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either. So it's like, what's that guy we used to listen to? It's like they watch us, and you know, it's like children playing with matches. As soon as they play with the matches, right, we're coming right down. We're going to sort you out. You know, little children, you know, playing with fire. So
I know absolutely we are, and we're dangerous, and we also now pose a danger to possibly the solar system. Because, you know, if we really damage the planet, then that's going to affect all the other planets as well.
Of course, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So right off the bat then, should we get this, you know, definition of this alien down as far as we understand it, or as far as you believe? You know, you know, my belief is that these creatures, if you want to call them that, come from other planets in the universe, etc. You know, on ships, nuts and bolts ships, and yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you go along with that, or do you have a different, slightly different take on that?
Well, I do believe that the universe is full of populated planets.
Yeah.
But I'd also believe that the contacts, most of the contacts that we've had on this Earth, are from within this solar system. And we're a great believer in life on all the planets, but not necessarily on this physical plane.
Okay.
Because we believe in life after death, different realms of existence, and say a more advanced life form isn't going to be living on this gross, what we call gross physical plane, and they're made of finer matter, but they're still real and they can travel through the realms, which is why there's so many cases of a UFO appearing, then blinking out.
Yeah, blinking out, yeah.
It's happened. So they've obviously got a science, that the technology that we haven't even begun to tap.
Mm. So do you think this is something that's achievable for human beings then?
Well, I think we're getting closer. But I also believe that the contacts that we've had in the past, I mean, I believe in ancient civilizations like Atlantis and Lemuria, and we were more advanced then, and we've regressed. That's our belief, very much so. And but we've still become more dangerous.
Mm. Yeah, obviously, you know, one civilization comes up, we advance, and all of a sudden, bang, we're back where we are again. And then it just, you know, it's happened twice. And it is provable as well. You know, it is provable.
Well, it is. There's a lot of indication. In fact, we've had a lot of contact with Mars. I mean, look at the pyramids on Mars. You know, there's so much that NASA are hiding from us. And I really think they have a duty to inform the population of Earth that there's more to life. You know, we can't be governed by the silence group or other organisations who want to keep us under control.
Yeah.
In ignorance, which is the truth.
What would be the ramifications then, Alison, or say NASA came out and said, yes, there is life on these planets and so and so? I mean, what would be so bad?
We've proved that there's life on Mars, haven't we?
I mean,
microbial life. So
no, but obviously
twice.
But
we're talking about more intelligent.
Yeah, what they're talking about actually, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to keep it to microbial life, but in fact, there's a very advanced life, and there's lots of evidence that there are large underground cities on Mars, for instance.
Okay.
And what is very interesting is that in 1958, there was a series of transmissions given by a great Martian intelligence,
yep,
who we refer to as Mars Sector 6, telling us that there are large underground cities and cities on the surface of their world. So they've been hiding it, and it's come out quite recently. They've taken infrared photographs, 9 levels of infrared photography, so they can't fake it, showing structures beneath the surface. And this all came out in the late 60s and 70s. So the Theory Society was ahead of the game.
Yep.
And in fact, I've actually seen photographs of cities on the surface in the southern hemisphere of Mars, which has been partially airbrushed out. But maybe there are some people within NASA who do want the truth to get out.
Mm.
And so they just leave a little clue here and there. But it's really substantiates everything that the Theory Society has said for decades.
Yeah. Who was this? Did you say it was an alien that let people know about this?
Yes, absolutely. I'm talking about Mars Sector 6. I mean, I think you have to understand that Dr. King, who's obviously the founder and president of the Theory Society, he was contacted by alien beings, so the first one being someone using the pseudonym of Aetherius.
Yep.
And then there are others, we call them cosmic masters, that's how we refer to them, like Mars Sector 6 and others. because they want the truth to get out as well. But they're also limited by, if you like, the karma of the human race. And this is where nuts and bolts and mysticism, I'm afraid, they join forces. Okay. And, you know, say 2,000 years ago, you couldn't tell an ignorant rabble that there was life on Venus or Mars. They wouldn't know what on earth you were talking about. Because if you look at the Bible, it's full of sightings like flying scrolls and the chariots of fire. You know, people were taken up in a whirlwind.
Yeah.
But if you look at it in today's terminology, you understand.
The cloud.
Exactly.
Yep.
Our clouds don't move like that.
No.
And they wouldn't understand the concept of a flying craft, you know, in biblical times.
Mm. Absolutely. So, I mean, well, I'm interested to know, obviously you mentioned that there's life on more than just Mars, but for now, if we just want to stick to Mars for a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Well, we know.
Yeah, do we know that
every planet is life, but it's on a different vibration, different frequency. But,
you've got it, that's right.
But
yes.
It's, we'll just stick to Mars, yeah?
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, if okay. we're talking about structures being built, then that seems to indicate more physical beings. I don't know.
I think really, you know, to go into it, you need to look at the grades of matter and actually what we're, you know, certain grades of matter. You've got, you know, your solid, liquid, gas, and then you've got your etheric, supertheric, and atomic, subatomic and atomic. So it's all different, you know. I think somebody told me one time that if you look at it this way, I mean, you've got Earth, it's blue, it's the water and all that. And you, I think these really to house our bodies. Because our bodies need water, need food and that. But some of these bodies haven't got that.
Yes.
Yeah, but surely we're just a product of...
This is just a spacesuit. What I'm in now is a spacesuit.
You're absolutely right. And in fact, consciousness will wrap around itself the type of physical structure that it needs to survive and live on whatever planet it's living on.
Mm.
And the conditions could be very different from ours.
I mean, if we could take a spaceship from here, right, and go to Mars... I don't think you see anything, you know, really. You might see, but I mean, look all the stuff that on the moon, all the structures, all the...
What
did they see on the moon? Why wasn't they brought back and shown to the public, saying, look, we found, these structures, why was they hidden? You know,
Well, one of the things, you see, you've got, you know, NASA's obviously in charge, but it was initially set up as a defence program. And then it changed into space travel.
Hmm.
And then they came up with something that's referred to as the Brookings Report, where they outlined the reasons why humanity should be kept in ignorance.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they're worried about is the effect it would have on people who think that, say, there's only one and only God, theirs is the only way, the religious way. And I think governments would also lose control over people.
Mm.
And so they don't want us to know. But you see, the thing is, when you get all these, the rovers and the Curiosity and Opportunity sending back thousands upon thousands of images, NASA do not have control over all of them. And anyone who's ready can download, can receive these images, and they put them up, they publish them.
Mm.
So we're seeing.
Then it said it isn't brought back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of pictures like that, you know, of rockets taking off and, these fireworks that we still pretend to use.
Yeah, they're actually fireworks.
Fireworks. I've seen pictures of them where someone's pointing out, what's that object in the background? And then they've gone back on NASA's website, you know, a couple of hours later or whatever, and that object's been airbrushed out, you know.
Yeah.
And they've still got the original picture, though. They're like, well, I've still got the original. I still want to know what it is, you know what I mean?
Yes. But
nothing comes back. But, before we move on, like these structures on Mars, obviously, like I say, you know, that leads me to believe more physical beings are creating structures. Like,
Yeah.
Do we know if it's still? Sorry, I was just going to say, do we know if it's still being used today, or is this a product of a civilization past?
Well, I think that life on Mars has moved up a level, but they've still left. They operate on all the levels. And there is vegetation on Mars. That's another thing. You know, in the late 19th century, they were talking about the canals of Mars, and then every time they looked, they were in a different position. So they, you know, people then thought, oh, right, there's definite, there are Martians, and they were preparing for the Wars of the Worlds and all that sort of thing. Mm. And then they started sending the first rockets or, you know, spacecraft with all their technology to photograph things, and it looked like a desert, but it wasn't, you know, that's only half the story. Because also they've tried to make out that there's no proper atmosphere on Mars.
Mm.
Well, I mean, even NASA have published photographs of lakes so that there's water. So for water to exist, there has to be enough pressure in the atmosphere for it to remain as water and not to be evaporated.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I've seen pictures. I think Richard Diol on Rich Planet's done an episode on this where he actually took a load of NASA's photographs allegedly from Mars. He thinks some of them are filmed in deserts and some of them in the Arctic. But he did an episode on it where he actually showed how the pictures were doctored and that the atmosphere is actually blue on Mars.
Yes, exactly.
And it's just altered to look red. So yeah,
I know you can tell because there's the picture of the American flag on one of the rovers. And when they'd changed the colour of the whole image to look redder, the flag was a different colour.
Mm.
And in fact, a whole article came out in a magazine called Atlantis Rising, and they did a whole article on Mars and all these conspiracy theories that there's this big cover-up.
Mm.
So definitely,
yeah. Yeah, so absolutely, yeah.
And I mean, there are trees. I've seen photographs of trees. You know, all the things that they say can't exist. I mean, that the ice is carbon dioxide. Well, you couldn't have water on the one hand, plant life, and carbon dioxide in ice, which is what they call dry ice, because there's no in-between stage between being frozen and then evaporating into the gas. It doesn't go into a liquid state, like, say, water, before it evaporates.
Mm.
So they're contradicting themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
fair enough, yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, but I think, I still say, I'm a bit pessimistic, like, we live in a lunatic asylum, yeah? And
yes.
We do. We live in a lunatic asylum, Alison, and I can't see any these alien beings letting the loonies come out of the asylum. So if they're going to take rockets or spaceships to another planet, it's like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't think they mind probes, because obviously it's information and knowledge, but I can't see them like to land on these planets. The moon landings,
yeah, but you see, people say that as a, you know, they can understand from their point of view, but from my point of view, if there's an alien race that's stopping us leave this planet, then that
no, I don't think
there's an alien race that'll
stop us. I think they're just watching.
I don't think they'll inhibit our progress, and I think scientific progress is important to the human race as a whole. But I mean, we do have to sort out our planet first. I mean, on the one hand, you've got terrible poverty and famine and starvation, and then you've got the other side, very wealthy people
who
do more.
Mm.
And I think there has to be an end to religious intolerance, and that seems to be getting worse, not better.
Yeah.
Well, you've got two things going on. You know, on the one hand, there's a sort of a yearning to get to the truth, the spiritual truth. And you see, in the Aetherius Society, we believe that some of the great teachers who came to our world, say like Sri Krishna, Buddha, Jesus, and others, they came in human form. They incarnated a part of their consciousness into the human cycle of reincarnation to give us a teaching which we were ready to receive. And I mean, you know, I don't want to be evangelical, but I will quote this. I mean, Jesus did say, I come from the house of David and the bright and morning star.
Yeah, well, Venus.
Venus, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, they left it in. I mean, it's jolly lucky that they didn't take that out.
Well, I don't know. It's
probably quite a lot, didn't they? They didn't realise the consequences of what it actually meant, yeah.
No, they
No, I think there's a few bits in the Bible, isn't there?
It's like a code, isn't it? The Bible's a code.
Well, I think it is, because some bits have been removed, so you try and decipher it, aren't you? That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, all you've got to do, and I'm not going to keep on the subject, but you can, I mean, a lot of people now, in my opinion, are waking up, okay? They're seeing the lies and just all this stuff now through the media and everything else. And what gets me is these people who are, you know, in charge, now they're putting it out in your face, okay?
Yes.
Here. So the information's there now, and they laugh at you because they don't think you're going to look at it, you know. They'll put it out in their posters, on the television, everywhere, and you can see it all the time now. So they're not afraid to put it out.
Movies.
Movies. They stick it in the movies.
Mm. I know, it's a strange psychology that we have.
Absolutely, yeah.
That we can believe things if it's part of a science fiction movie or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost as though it's part of a plan to get us to realise that actually a lot of it could be true. I think if I were talking to someone from another planet, I would say this is the best way to approach mankind because they can understand it through fiction.
Yeah.
It's a very strange concept. But, you know, we have a certain psychology, and their approach now has been more direct. And I mean, there's evidence that they've approached people in the Vatican. You know, they're trying to get the truth out, but I'm afraid they are bound by the law of karma. And this is where the spiritual side of it is terribly important to understand how they are trying to approach us.
I always said, and I've tried to tell people, you know, without them putting a straitjacket on me, that, you know, the Vatican is the kingpin. It is where the low astral realms is held. That's it. You know, it's
part
the kingpin.
Of it, so, yeah. I think so.
Most of it. I mean, you've got to look at the people, what they're dressed in. You know, what the staff itself is black magic. It's you know, I see people, thousands up. You know, you get the Pope going out the window and he's waving hello, and you get millions at the thousands at the bottom and waving a little flag, and, you know, it's, well, it's up to them.
Well, actually, I mean, the crucifix itself is a black magic symbol.
Yes, it is, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Not black magic. The cross or the concept of the resurrection.
No.
Which is life after death, and, you know, it's ascension in the case of, say, someone like Jesus, who anyway was not of this world.
Mm.
And, you know, he gave clues, you know, in my house, my father's house are many mansions. It's a sort of veiled way of saying there are either other realms or other planets, says life. And you only have to look at, say, the ancient Hindu history and mythology, and
that's,
they talk
brilliant,
about
that.
Vimanas. Yeah, you know, they're open about it.
Yeah, the what's the weapons? The Indradar, the Brahma weapons, all atomic weapons. You know,
absolutely.
You know, so.
In fact, there are areas in India that are still radioactive.
Yeah. And then you've got the glass, haven't you, in the desert? So,
Libyan glass, absolutely, which is very much like the sort of glass that they found in the Mexican desert and all around.
Where did you drop that?
That area, yes. The name of it, that's from Atlantis. I think it's from an atomic war in Atlantis, and that's my opinion.
So do you think that, like, there was a civilization on Mars, you know, that eventually made its way to Earth before Mars was, you know, destroyed for whatever amount of time it's been, you know, uninhabitable. Obviously, if you have to go underground, there's something gone wrong. You think that they made a way here, and then they obviously?
No, I don't quite believe that. I think something did happen to Mars, but the civilization didn't die out. They went underground and they continued their evolution. You see, there's another factor, and it's something that I've discovered quite recently. You know, the asteroid belt, you know, people are now starting to speculate as to whether or not it was a planet.
Yeah.
And if you put all the mass together, it's smaller than the mass, the total mass of the moon. But they're all the heavy metals. And the asteroids, or the part of the, you know, meteorites that come to Earth, have certain what they call chondrites, and they're sort of radioactive. They contain a radioactive gas, which is a byproduct of nuclear fission, and it's called xenon-129. See, I've been studying this.
Yeah.
And they found this on the surface of Mars, and in the upper atmosphere of Jupiter. So that would indicate that the asteroid belt was destroyed by an atomic war, which blew up the planet. And it affected its two nearest neighbours, being Mars and Jupiter.
So obviously that may be why they went underground.
But did you say this, these asteroids have this radioactive gas?
Yes.
So could it not be just from an asteroid that collided with?
Well, they know that some of the asteroids or parts of the asteroids that come from, they know where they come from. The comets, okay, they travel through the solar system. But when the asteroids come to Earth in the form of they sort of, because they're all broken up into tiny pieces, and some of them, for various reasons, get knocked out of the orbit, and then they, you know, they'll travel through the solar system, and some of them land on Earth. But they've found to contain this same xenon 129. And it's in the solar wind, you don't get that degree of radiation, not in that form. And this is something that scientists have found.
Okay.
In the last few years.
These are the asteroids that are just in our asteroid belt then?
Yes.
I understand what you mean now, yeah.
They're not the only source of the meteorite showers, but the ones that they know come from the asteroid belt, a very high percentage of them have this radioactive gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see, our civilization takes us back to that planet. And we refer to it as Maldek. And we blew it up. And then it's not that Mars had a war. This is one theory, but we definitely don't believe that at all. I mean, Mars was affected, but it was a more advanced civilization. And their civilization has continued. And they continue to this day. And evolution is a fantastic thing. And we're really all part of one big planetary family, and it's about time that we joined up with them. But if we show that we can be spiritual, that, you know, we can care for one another, then that'll be the signal for them to have an open landing.
Okay. But, from their point of view then, because if this was on, you know, if this, the shoe was on the other boot of foot, as it were, and this was us, you know, in that situation, you know, we're almost at a critical mass at the moment planet with population size and the amount of food and stuff. We can't really look after ourselves. So if we happen to, say this was us, right, and we went out to space, we found a planet with life on that had resources that we could make use of and maybe put some of our people on it and there. I can't see that ending well for the people on that planet unless they've got nuclear weapons, and that's what North Korea are finding out at the moment. Do you see that from their point of view? I can't understand how another civilization would really care about us. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's
let's say that the civilizations within this solar system are far in advance of ours. That doesn't mean to say that there aren't civilizations on other solar systems within the galaxy that aren't at the same level as us. I mean, there undoubtedly are.
Yeah.
But the immediate contact that we have on this Earth is from people or civilizations within this solar system. The thing is, we can evolve. We can evolve because life is a never-ending thing. It's not just one life and you die and that's the end of it. We have lessons to learn, and then that brings us up to a certain level of evolution, and then we can go to a new classroom, if you like. And the next classroom, from our point of view, Mars would be one of them, and then our consciousness could be born into Martian civilization. I mean, just to take that as an example.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, there's life on Jupiter, but I mean, you look at Jupiter, you say, well, how can life possibly exist there? Well, if you're on level 3 or 4 above this physical plane, it might be a completely different set of conditions to what we perceive at the moment.
I think if you had a machine, right, where you put on the ground, right, and you flipped a switch, if that machine could alter the frequency levels, right, from our basic ones to number 2, 3 and 4, Once you flip that switch, I believe you can. You will see craft, you know, in the mother of craft and everything. You'll see different civilizations.
Yes.
People will materialize.
I think there's a few maybe like creatures made of plasma and all sorts of stuff that we don't see. You know,
it's our basic vision, isn't it? So.
It's absolutely true. I mean, look what the camera can pick up. It can pick up entities in the Dalek kingdom. You get the woman, I think, or somebody recently took a photograph of a lovely sunset, and streaking across the sky were several UFOs. You couldn't see them with the naked eye, but the camera can pick them up.
Yeah. I mean, say you had a UFO experience, didn't you, Lou? So, I mean, a few years ago, the UFO, so... But
it was... Yeah, but, you know, obviously I saw that one. That's what I mean, I saw it with my eyes.
Yeah, your eyes, but obviously...
To me, that was, a physical craft. It was nuts and bolts, so this is...
They are physical. They can be absolutely physical. I mean, I've seen lots of film footage of craft over nuclear, you know, establishments and... Mm. Stopping rockets from being fired is quite amazing, really. They are keeping a watch on us.
Mm. Oh, yeah, definitely that. Absolutely. There's many reports of shutting it down and making all the nuclear weapons in it. So
they've done it. They did it in Russia. They completely shut down a nuclear power station.
Looking at this from the outside, this alien thing, it really perplexes me a lot, because obviously we see the universe through rose tinted spectacles of being humans, and I think that this we always cut to this point where we never really go backwards, because the problem we've got on this planet is that we've got too many different races. We've got human race, but we've got different creeds and stuff, and different religions, and that's really, really
the whole point.
The crux of a lot of the problems, isn't it?
I know. As I said right at the beginning, we need to really rise above all that.
Yeah, but and this is all
to one another.
I mean, we're all human beings, and like I say, I think the next level for this planet is when everybody's mixed race, because at that point there's no problems. I hope there's not problems, but you know what I mean? But when everybody's mixed race, I could see more, less money being spent on weapons and all that stuff and concentrating on what actually needs doing. But at the moment, we've got all these different races that want to fight each other. They all want the various lands for themselves and that, which is fair enough.
No, but surely
from an alien perspective, if they want us to evolve to the next stage and all the rest of it, they want us to get there, you know, at some point rather than never, then surely a nuclear war that wipes out half the population in one stroke is almost that maybe more karmic, if you like, than just letting us get on with it ourselves.
No, I think that...
No, we can't do that. We can't create another nuclear war. I mean, that is absolutely evil beyond... understanding.
Oh yeah, I'm not in favour for it, but I'm just saying from their point of view, I could, if I was looking at it from an outside perspective, an analogy then. So say we've got a cage, you know, we've got two tigers in the cage, two lions, and I don't know, two panthers per se. So they're all feline, but they're obviously different. So they don't get along, obviously, so they're all fighting. If the zoo was in this situation, so where the zookeepers, the aliens are the zookeepers in this analogy, they're looking at this situation, they're going to say, right, well, obviously this isn't going to work because the lions are fighting the tigers and the panthers are fighting each other, everybody. So let's remove the panthers and let's remove the tigers and just leave the lions, you know? And then I know it's bad for the panthers, it's bad for the tigers, you know, especially if it's in China, but... The lions that are left obviously thrive and then multiply and then get to the next level and all that. That's surely the quickest way to get up.
There is a karmic way, and it's going to come through natural selection, through evolution.
Yeah.
It's not, because our planet is changing now anyway. I mean, the ionosphere is coming down, and when the new age really kicks in, I mean the real new age, conditions will be very different here.
Yes,
absolutely.
And then we'll have another planet, and I will have to say that because
it's part of
the teaching. And, you know, there'll come a time when there are no lower astral realms on around this planet. So then that means only people of a certain evolution, and that's nothing to do with race or religion. This is now an individual thing. Only people who have the same spiritual outlook on life will be living here. I mean, it's some way down the line, and it's an opportunity for us to evolve, and that's also part of the plan, because their message today is spiritual.
Yep.
They want us to evolve. They're trying to tell us that there's more to life than what we just see around us.
So is this evolution more on the consciousness level rather than you have to know about this stuff and understand it before you eat?
It is the evolution of a consciousness, definitely. Mm. It's a greater understanding. It's greater spiritual wisdom. Mm. And that's what they're trying to impart to us. And a lot of the transmissions, which are the messages that Dr. King received, are trying to tell us that.
Mm. Well, let's go into some of those then. Let's go into what's the most profound one then?
Well, I think that the most profound teaching that has been given to Earth is has been published in our book called The Nine Freedoms. And that was a series of transmissions delivered by this great Martian intelligence, Mars Sector 6, which is the path to cosmic consciousness and ascension. And I know you mentioned before you wanted to talk about Count Saint Germain.
Yeah.
Well, this is another whole side to our path of evolution. And what's different, what has changed today, is that when you reach this great portal of initiation, which is the initiation of ascension, you've got a choice of either going on to what we call interplanetary existence, which enables your consciousness to, say, live on Mars, Jupiter, Pluto, Mercury. Anyway, there were four. Mm. And or you can join the spiritual hierarchy of Earth, which is the Great White Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Where you go through the initiation of ascension, you're on the same level as these great beings, but you're staying on Earth because you're holding the balance of karma, because without these masters here, which, by the way, comprises men and women, I think we'd have a terrible catastrophe on Earth because karma would dictate it.
Okay. And so are these masters in communication with, you know, our leaders and such now?
Well, they're under karmic limitation as well. Mm. But there are certain masters who have come to Earth, who've made their presence known, including Count Saint Germain, and they have powers that we could only dream about.
Yeah.
They have a body that doesn't age. They can levitate. They can exist through all the realms. They live in retreats around the world, and you know, all the time they're putting out spiritual power to try and counteract all the negative energy that's coming into the world from all the negative thoughts. Not only this physical realm, but on the lower astral realms as well. And this is one of the big problems that's been on this planet. It's a lot of evil thoughts that keep being put out into the mind belt.
Yeah, because I mean, you said earlier about the mixed races, Lee, you know, the blacks, the whites, the Chinese, and that, and obviously the fighting, the mix. I think it's been, myself, it's been brought about purposely to divide people. To keep people divided.
Oh, yeah,
because
I mean,
if you want to control somebody, you don't want a group. Yeah, you don't want a group, you know, people. You can't take them on. You can take on a single person. So you keep the people divided and fighting among themselves.
Absolutely.
You know?
This is, you know, I think this, where these people, you know, you get these refugees now, the immigrants coming in the country. Just take Sweden. I mean, look, this is going mad there now. Mm. People are getting raped, killed, murdered. It's on another level. It's horrible, but I think it's definitely the plan to keep the people dumbed down and divided, you know.
It is. It's true. Because if we were all united, you know, we could change conditions on this Earth overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, you only have to look at a football stadium. look how people are united. I mean, it's a tremendous power that we can generate.
Oh, yeah, but even in that situation, you've still got two tribes, haven't you?
Okay, but at least it's two.
Each
tribe is united in its thought and energy output. I'm not saying it's a great spiritual achievement, but it just shows what we can do. And if we wanted to stop war and stop all this hatred and a whole country united as one to send out spiritual energy, we would check that. We would change that country over.
Yeah. I always said it's like a domino effect. It might start from a village to a town, to a town, to a city, to a city, to a country. You know, it's a domino. Once you get these people together, it grows.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing these lower astral realms can do about it. Once it starts to grow, that's it. You know, it'll be like a tidal wave.
So Saint Germain, then, obviously he was one of these, what do you call them?
Yeah, because we had a list, didn't we, who wanted to count Saint Germain.
Yeah, so obviously at some point was on it. I mean, how many times has he been on, you know, physical, is it?
Yeah.
On the earth?
Well, he's one of those rare individuals who obviously got the karmic permission to walk amongst mankind on the physical plane. I mean, I think he founded the Rosicrucian Order centuries before that. He said, because I read a book in French published about him, and he said, "I am Rose Cross." In other words, it's another way of saying that he founded it. He suddenly appeared in the 18th century in France, and he went to the court of Louis XV, and he was sent on diplomatic missions. But he had the most extraordinary talents. I mean, he was a musician, he was an artist, he spoke many languages. He could transmute metals, he could produce gold, gemstones, you know, what we call synthetics, but he had his own way of producing them, not the way we do them now.
Yeah, fair enough.
And he could write, say, if he was writing something in his right hand, he could write it simultaneously with his left hand, and you put the same piece of writing one on top of the other, and you couldn't see the difference. And you see, I think the Western approach to the spiritual path is different from the Eastern approach. In the West, it's about mastery. In the East, it's about going within and detachment. But ultimately, you have to join the two, and then you really have control. And it's about control. If you can control your own thoughts, if you can control the energies within, you'll control the energies outside of you as well. And that's one of the great secrets of yoga philosophy.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely believe that. And I think that was part of the problem that Bruce Lee found himself in. I think he managed to achieve that. And
I think he was more than he was.
Yeah, I think he might well have been.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was more than people saw him as.
I think so.
But, you know, that's my...
So obviously this guy, you know, he's taken court, and, you know, he goes all over the place. He goes on diplomatic missions. And when was the last time he was here? And
well, he disappeared, and then he came back again at the time of Louis XVI, just before the French Revolution. And he warned the king, Louis XVI, that there was, you know, that there was going to be bloodshed, you know, on the coming. And he went to see Marie Antoinette and warned her as well. And neither of them would listen to him. And what he said came to pass. And, you know, there's so many stories. There was a lady who was at the court of Marie Antoinette who had met Count Saint-Germain when she was very young. And she saw him about 40 or 50 years later, and he hadn't changed. In fact, Voltaire, you know, French 18th century philosopher, referred to him as the man who knows everything and never dies. And then he said he was going to inspire the invention of the railway engine. I think it was Stevenson. And then he was seen 100 years later. He was in Rome, you know, the various people who've, you know, seen him. He was seen at Milan in 1877, because he was also a Freemason. And he brought a spirituality to it. I think they were losing it a bit. But, I mean, even Freemasonry at its best is based on the ancient wisdom of the West, more than the East, because the Kabbalistic path is another viable path. But, of course, things change, and now we have to look at serving the whole. We can't just say, well, I'm going to detach from everything, detach from all the suffering of the world, and then hopefully I'll find enlightenment, because that won't happen now. We have to go out. It's all about going out to the world, spreading, talking about truth in a positive way, and helping other people.
Yeah.
And that is the best thing that we can be doing in these days, and we can be doing it in cooperation with beings from other worlds, which I think is fantastic.
So how do we communicate? If we wanted him to come back, well, obviously we do want him to come back as soon as possible.
He wants to come back to the Lulee Bin. In my books, he's my hero, you know.
How would we communicate with him, you know, in order to, you know, hopefully get him to come back?
Well, with Dr. King's legacy has not allowed us to have a two-way communication, but he's left us ways which we can communicate with them or make our intentions known. And there's a large satellite that comes into orbit of our world four times a year. It's referred to as satellite number 3. And what it does, it's a Martian satellite, and it's about 1.5 miles long. And it absorbs energy from the sun, because that's the source of all our power in the solar system, well, mainly.
Yeah.
And it's radiated to all people of spiritual intention. So whatever spiritual work they're doing, doesn't matter where they are in the world, what their work is, they could be helping with famine relief, praying for world peace or healing, they'll be helped during those periods. They're called magnetization periods or spiritual pushes. And the efforts are enhanced by a factor of 3,000 times. And that's how they're helping us in this way. They're still limited in the way they can help us until we have advanced enough. And then they'll be more open. But you see, there's also karmic pressure, and this is what people don't realize. If a man stepped out of a spaceship in Hyde Park and said, give up all your worldly goods and follow me, would you do it? And I think most people would say no.
Yeah.
So then it puts a karmic pressure upon people to do the right thing when they're not really ready. So their plan is to get people to change from within. Yeah. When they see the light and they can see the right way to go, then that is the key to it. They're getting us to change from within. It's got to come from us before they can approach us openly.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but like I say, I mean, For that to happen, I think there has to be a catastrophe. You know, whether that's a nuclear war or a comet strike in the earth or a polar shift or whatever you want to talk about. I think we need to almost press the reset button.
Yeah, I was talking to Tom Steve, won't we? Tom,
yeah. I understand what you're saying. I mean, to jog people out of their torpor or this.
Exactly that, because we've got our 9-to-5s, we've got our jobs, we've got our bills, we've got, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And look at what's happening now with the Amazon and places like this, the fracking, the bees, the GM crops. We're not even going to have food and water.
Do you know the last time the fracking was done? Atlantis. Mind you, on a deeper level.
Oh, yeah.
I mean a deeper level than what's going on now. They was after something, and they obviously, boom, that was it. So.
But if we went back to being... sorry, did you have a point on that?
Well, what I was going to say was, in Atlantis, they had a science which is more linked to the Earth energies.
Yeah.
Because the pyramids, they're found all over the world. They've discovered them in Antarctica. They found pyramids at the bottom of the southern Atlantic Ocean, China. Found them in Bosnia, the pyramids dating back to 30,000 years. So, I mean, we have to rewrite our history. And then, of course, you've got the evidence of the atomic war. So, you see, when you talk about Atlantis, you're not talking about a little island.
A continent.
It's a whole global civilization. Yeah. Mm. And just as we're a global civilization. But they went into genetics, engineering, in a way that we daren't look at it, like creating hybrid creatures.
Mm.
And if you look at some of the art forms, you get half animal, half human. Well, I think it's not just mythology. I think that they created some of these entities.
Yeah.
And in fact, there is a transmission also, as it happens, by Mars Sector 6, who refers to that.
Yeah.
You know, we really went down the line of terrible depravity, and we caused an atomic war, which I think was global.
Yeah.
And I think, if you like, the seat of Atlantis might have been in the island continent, but they definitely had nuclear weapons, and I mean, you can even see it in the ancient Sumerian legends. In fact, I looked into that. Zachariah Sitchin he refers to the lament of where the seven deadly weapons were fired, and it just completely destroyed the whole region.
So,
and they talk about the fire in the sky, and you know.
But that's the thing, because obviously these spiritual beings that we're talking about were obviously around at that point, and they let them do that nuclear.
Well, it's karma. You can't interfere. It's like Star Trek. You don't see what's the movie.
Yeah,
Star Trek. It's a code of non-interference.
Yeah, but then you're saying that they're stopping us doing nuclear.
No, we can't.
They won't interfere. They won't interfere. That's
they'll try and help, but
they'll help.
I can see where you're going, Sailor. They won't interfere.
But they won't stop us unless they really perceive it to be a threat to the rest of the solar system.
Yeah.
And that is the difference. So you know, where they can, they'll try and limit our nuclear capability. But you know, there was a point.
Surely the easiest way to do, and I think this is the obviously, if we redid that, was it the Brookings report? If we redid that now, and I'm sure they have done to see what would happen now if they were told the truth about the existence of alien life, and obviously they'll start with microbial and move on. But I think that the number one problem the two main problems from that would be, one, we can't sell arms anymore, which is massive. Economy.
That'd be jolly good.
But for them, you know, it'd be bad. So that, you know, from the government's point of view, so they say, right, one, we can't sell arms anymore. Two, we can't mine oil anymore, because you know, this, once we tell people about aliens and spaceships and all that, we have to go zero point energy at that point, because aliens have obviously achieved this.
Yes, they've done it, exactly.
So that would be the first thing. So this is the first thing that come into people's heads. Mm. So as soon as you announce that these come in from other planets and all that, that's the first thing that people are going to say. Well, how did they do it? You know, they must have technology. And at that point, the government, the money makers who make oil, I know these people are moving into food and water, which is again alarming. But the fact that they would have to drop the oil overnight.
Yes, I think we would. We're heading in that direction now, which is a good thing.
Eventually, but we're like 200, 300 years down the line from where we should have been already, aren't we?
Well, I think so. I can't remember who said it, but he says, you know, there's oil there and it's there for a reason.
Well,
it's there for a reason.
It's there to lubricate the tectonic plates.
We're taking it out.
Yes, if you take it out, you're going to cause more distress to the planet.
Absolutely. And now this fracking comes in. It's just lunacy on a high level. It's just lunacy on a high level.
Well,
I think they're getting desperate. You know, I think they're
It's the power behind the governments, because our prime minister, even the president of the United States, they're just puppets.
Yeah.
The real movers and shakers are people like, say, the Bilderberg Group.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not naming them specifically, but there are other darker organisations that are very secret.
Yeah.
I mean, who's running the economy of the world? It's not the individual nations.
No.
And if it If it suits them to change from fracking to zero-point energy, they'll stop bumping off all the scientists who come up with an alternative to oil.
That is the problem. It doesn't save them. You know, as soon as you do zero-point energy, you can't make money on it then. No. So it's the problem. I mean, that's why solar panels, they're selling solar panels now. They say, oh, you buy these solar panels and you'll be able to pay them off in 15 years. If I wait 5 years, then I'll be able to pay them off in, 6 months? You know what I mean? So... That's the lunacy of it all.
You say we live in a lunatic asylum, and we don't want the crazies to get out. Really.
But at the same time, we're told all this, and we need this, and we've got tribes living in the Congo and the Amazon and all that. They're just minding their own business, they've been there thousands of years, just minding their own business, getting on with it, and we're struggling to put food on the table. So
I think it's
come to a time now where.
There will be a change, and it's coming slowly. And the new age could be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
It can happen gradually, and we'll be in tune with the higher cosmic powers. I mean, it'll be like a whole new world opening up to us. It'll be like the visions of all the ancient prophets and the seers of the past.
Mm.
It'll happen. It will come about. But at the same time, we have to give humanity a chance to change. You know, from my point of view, I'd be delighted if it happened tomorrow. Yeah. But it wouldn't be good for some poor person living in sub-Saharan Africa who doesn't know any, access to anything.
That's what I was saying earlier about this this next evolutionary step. If it's consciousness related more than physical, then. Obviously, we have to know about this before we can achieve it to some extent.
Yes, absolutely. We have to get the, if you like, the cosmic message out. I'll call it that. But truth. It's spiritual truth.
Yep.
And now, through the Aetherius Society, I can say that with confidence, we now have a deeper insight into truth. As I was saying earlier on, in days of old, you couldn't talk about space travel, but we can now. We understand that, actually, thanks to science fiction as well.
Mm.
Because, oh, absolutely, yeah.
Humanity is so ignorant, they think that there can't be anybody greater than themselves. Well, I mean, they couldn't be more wrong.
I'm afraid they're stuck in a bubble. Until that bubble bursts, and I'm afraid they're not moving anywhere else. So it's...
about this? Because you say like these aliens are. I mean, do we know if there's more than one in communication with the Earth, or is it just one particular race, if you will?
There have been contacts from Venus, Aetherius, the Master Aetherius, who we refer to. It was the first contact that Dr. King had, and he said he was from Venus. We've had. Master Jesus, who gave us the 12 blessings, Mars Sector 6, who gave us the 9 freedoms and other individual transmissions. We've had Sector S2 or Mars Sector 8. You know, there are various beings within this solar system. We've also had a contact from a civilization in another part of the galaxy. It's just referred to from our point of view as Gotha. And, once you get to that level, there'll be interchanges with beings from all over the galaxy. We won't be limited. We are limiting ourselves now.
Yeah.
We've got to get over it. That's how I sum it up.
Absolutely. I mean, do these other civilizations then get along, seemingly?
Yes, they do. I mean, there are belligerent civilizations, yes, but we are protected from that. We've been protected from things that we could not deal with ourselves. Mm.
But why are we protected? I don't see the cosmic family.
We're a cosmic family here.
I don't see the importance of them spending time on us.
I think you do the same, wouldn't you?
I look at it as if I've got ants or a wasp nest in my house, I destroy it.
Well, there's no hole in that. What's wrong with that?
Because I don't want us living in my house.
No, I wouldn't.
Exactly. So that's
I mean, we owe
an awful lot. Oh, very
nice, aren't they? We owe an awful lot to the Martian civilization. They have protected us more than we could ever realize.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they did stop an alien invasion. You know, there are such things as spore fields. We've been sort of protected from that sort of thing. Because it would also affect the rest of the solar system as well. So we've benefited from that. And, of course, there is going to be the great change on this Earth. And, we're given this opportunity to change, and I think we should really thank our God for that. You know, we want to see or understand the nature of God, which is interesting.
Well, I call it Source because I don't believe in God. I believe in Source, as in home we come. I believe in higher beings, absolutely. Masters, adept, so I believe all of that, you know, higher
it's
beings. I believe Source, not a God, not a one person. No.
It doesn't have to be a religious concept. It's like there's a great creative mind behind everything.
Yeah.
There's a balance throughout the universe, and that's held in place by the law of karma, it's the preservative force. And it's a universal law which affects everything and everyone. And we have to learn to abide by this law.
Mm. That, I think where the church come in is they say, oh God, I mean, even the Vatican, they don't even give Jesus teachings anyway. They actually worship a fish god called Dagon. And that, you can research that. That is absolutely in your face stuff. Mm. You know, that's why you get the mitre, the fish head. You know, it's there, but it's people can't see it.
I know, it's true.
But, you know,
I mean, where's these teachings and all this? I mean, where does it lead us? Because it seems like they've been, you know, trying to do this for, you know, a few thousand years now, and to no great avail. I think is it possible that they're communicating with the wrong types of people?
No, they haven't. They've sent their agents here, and that was a deliberate plan.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, you can be given the greatest teachings that have ever been visualized, but it's how we interpret it. I mean, we've massacred virtually every religion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we bring our own interpretation or take things out, alter things. It's all been, it suits the people in power.
Mm. But even then, you know, to some extent, you know, if these people came and said, oh, we're here to, to help you out and all that, what credence would we give them for that? You know, why would we bow down to them and say, oh, yeah, we bow to your wisdom, your great knowledge? I mean, what would be the...
That's been done over... I mean, all got
well, to, I let me tell you something. There is a prediction that's been made that there will be what they call the Messiah, the next master, whoever you want to call him, and he will land openly in a flying saucer. He will step out and declare himself with full powers, and that time will come. The date hasn't been set, but there is a plan, and that'll be the turning point for the human race. We will have to follow him. He will prove that he's got all the powers.
Yeah, he will show all his credentials.
Absolutely, 100%.
He'll ask for his credentials and he will produce them.
Hmm. Yes, we've got it. Lord's Declaration. Yes.
Yes. It'll be
fantastic.
It'll be an option, though, won't it? It won't be a...
We've been doing this, we've been researching this Yellowstone, haven't we, and San Andreas, and that should have gone years ago, but haven't we, Lee?
Yellowstone.
And now it's been active again now, so, you know, we're...
Talk about Yellowstone.
I mean, we're due one, anyway.
Yes.
Overdue.
That's a
150 years overdue, aren't we? Is it? That's what you
said. Oh, well over, yeah.
Yeah, 150 years, I think. Now, if this comes off, I mean, if Yellowstone goes, then San Andreas... They must be on the same power anyway. So if San Andreas goes, Yellowstone's got to go. So it's either where, because they're both connected, aren't they, Alison?
Well, Yellowstone is a huge caldera volcano.
Mm.
It's like a hotspot, and it's building up again.
Yeah.
I think the last time it blew was about 600,000 years ago. I mean, there are others like this. I mean, there's actually one in the Mediterranean basin, believe it or not, near the Bay of Naples.
Mm.
Which is why you've got Vesuvius, you've got the what you call the Solfatari, you've got all these you know, these areas of, you know, of sulfur fumes, it's all in a sort of great triangle. Then you've got Tambora, I think it's either Cambodia or, you know, in the Far East. But one thing I can say, that there is a mission that we perform called Operation Sunbeam, which is giving back to the Earth a token energy repayment. And that's in cooperation with higher powers. And that is slowing down the movement of the tectonic plates. Because I think that we would have had a much bigger calamity than we've had to date.
So
I go along with that. I think it is being suppressed.
Yeah, but why? Always thinking, it was on about Tom Seawood came on last week, didn't we? We had a great chat with Tom. And he was on about this and this. And I said, Tom, why can't they just push the reset button and then start again? You know, yes. I mean, but obviously because they're holding San Andreas, they're holding Yellowstone and they don't want them to go off yet. There must be a plan why they're holding it back. Are they holding it back because when the next master is coming? Is this why?
I think, because also.
I mean, you can't have a catastrophe. And then somebody pops up. It's got to be before, isn't it? Logic to me.
Mm. The Master Theorist has predicted that there are two ways we can go into the new age.
Mm.
One is through calamity, and the other is by embracing the new age teachings and concepts, and then it'll be done gradually.
Mm.
Because we were told in 1960 that the ionosphere was going to come down.
Mm.
It started to happen. They first detected a hole in the Antarctic in the 1970s. So that's another prediction, another piece of evidence that the teachings of the Ethereum Society are genuine.
Yeah.
You know, things have been said that we didn't believe, but they've come to, you know, shown to be true.
Yeah, well, also what I've listened to and I've read, I've got quite a lot of books and, you know, and through my friend Les as well, you know, it's, to me, myself, just amazing. And Dr. George King, when you hear him talk, he goes right through me, you know. I don't know why, but he's a fantastic talker, fantastic lecturer.
He's so knowledgeable. Yeah. And he's cut through everything. He gets down to the bottom line in everything. And he's given, there's such a wealth of occult information. And you can take what he says as being true. I mean, he was a master of yoga in his own right, and he did reach the highest state of cosmic consciousness as is possible to achieve on this earth.
Yeah.
And so he's got his credentials from that point of view, and that's why he was chosen to be what they call primary terrestrial mental channel, because he could raise his vibration to be able to receive a telepathic contact with the Master of Theorists and other cosmic masters.
Mm.
You know, you can get a lot of mediums, but, you know, at the end of the day, a medium can only receive a message that's from someone or an entity who's on an equivalent level, to evolutionary level to themselves.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you know, like someone from the spiritual hierarchy of Earth wouldn't contact someone on, on a weekend course, you know, it's absolute nonsense. You know, you do hear about that, and I'm not quoting any names, but it really annoys me.
Yeah, we get a few of them, don't we? We've got a few of them stuff on that. But we know, we let them talk, and okay.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I think, is there a way then, to do this ourselves, you know, to communicate with these beings? I mean, how long would it take?
Well, we're not ready to have a direct contact with them, but they do let their presence be known. I mean, when we go to certain places, like, say, Holston Down, which is one of the charged mountains, have you heard of those? The 19 charged mountains?
Yeah. I've actually been to Holston Down, Alison. Amazing.
You know,
it's very, very windy there, and I wonder why.
We had so many sightings.
Yeah.
You know, we dedicated one pilgrimage to the cosmic masters, and they came in droves. It was unbelievable. But they were witnessed by all of us.
Mm.
And I mean, I've had so many sightings, you know, even one in the last few months. I had a brilliant one.
What, of a craft?
I mean, once I was flying back from Canada, and I was in the plane. And suddenly this huge metallic sphere darted over the plane, because I saw it came from above and I could see it through the porthole, skipping through the clouds. Well, I mean, Earth satellites are not like that. And this was physical, and you could see the sun reflecting off it. So that was like a probe.
Mm.
You know, that's one type I've seen. I've seen lights that change colours and then suddenly dart off in, you know, different direction.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I've seen a lot of those. So, you know, they're watching us far more than we realise.
Mm.
And if you're sending out a certain type of energy, there'll be other people, entities, they'll be watching. You know, they're waiting for this to happen. You know, the spiritual revolution.
I think we'll be waiting for a long time, really. I mean, I'm not being...
Well, no.
I am, I think it'll happen, but... It's like a tap in it, you know. Yeah. Where you want the outpour, but what we're getting at the moment is drip.
I mean,
drip,
they've been
drip, drip. You know, you want a bit more outpour, but it's not.
They've been at this for about 25,000 years, so it's
to realise, if we destroy a planet, then we destroy two civilizations like Lemuria. I mean, that was really the cradle of civilization. It was the huge basin in the Pacific Ocean.
Mm.
That's where Lemuria was based. And that's where you get some of the Vimanas that could materialize or appear in seven places at once. I think that goes back to Lemuria. And in fact, we were told that we had reached near perfection. And then it's the same old story. There are a few bad apples in the barrel who ruin it for everybody else and cause another atomic war. Well, I mean, karmically, there's going to be regression.
Mm.
We're going to be under limitation, and each time we try to climb out of the pit, it's going to be that much harder. It's not going to be just suddenly fall into our laps.
Whether you agree with me, you know, if you had a few bad apples, you get rid of them. You won't leave them in a barrel, would you?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So you get these bad, but they have to reincarnate on, or they stay in the low astral realms. You know, obviously they'll do all this that they wanted. You know, if it was near perfection, Alison, then I would have got rid of the bad apples and let it carry on. You know, but absolutely, the bad apples are still here, aren't they?
There is such a thing as transmutation, and I mean, no one can get round the law of karma in the end. Mm,
yeah.
Sometimes evil is allowed to proliferate. You see, this is another misconception, another one of my pet hates, that God created good and God created evil. God is above all that.
Mm.
What we have is free will. And what we have to learn to do is to control our free will. This is the big lesson that we have to learn. It's the control of free will. And then we'll get freedom.
Mm.
And that is the essence of the teachings these days. And there are some black magicians in the lower astral realms who have been able to evade reincarnation. But their time comes, sooner or later something happens and they fall foul of their own nefarious schemes.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, so, right, oh, okay, so we'll, could you just, we'll move on a bit and could you try, keep it basic.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, but the spirit realms, can you give us a take on the spirit realms and, you know, how many we got? Alison and what their purposes are for.
Right.
And just on that, before you start, I just wanted to know where ghosts fit into that and why we see ghosts occasionally, if you believe we do.
Yeah, they exist. They definitely exist. Right. When there are seven major realms of existence around this planet, and this would also reflect, really, throughout the universe, it's not just around this planet. But there are seven. We're on level one, if you like, which is the physical plane, which is where you learn to manipulate karma. So that's why you get a lot of all the good and the bad, and the lessons have to be learned mainly on the physical plane. When you die, your soul, which is the subtle body which houses your consciousness, which is then the spirit. Because the part of you that never dies is the spirit. That is above all personality. But the soul, if you like, is the is the sort of personal aspect. And it's the part of us that drives us towards contacting the spirit. And this passes on then into a subtle realm, and you go to the realm that is the most suitable for you. And it's really a question of vibration. It's not, and then you carry on going through reincarnation. Now, and until you reach that point where you have learned every single lesson you need to learn on the physical plane, and you go through the initiation of ascension where you no longer have to reincarnate. And that is where you join the spiritual hierarchy of ascended masters. These are those who have chosen to stay here rather than move on to other experiences within the solar system.
Is that forever?
Well, I mean, evolution goes on forever. You know, I mean...
I mean, these ascended masters, I mean, the when they choose to stay in, you know, this vicinity, is that a choice that they make forever? Is that permanent, that choice, or is it...
And I wouldn't say it's permanent, but it's certainly for a long time, they would be there in that position until the bulk of humanity has evolved sufficiently that there's not this imbalance in the karma, so that we would not need their presence here to the degree that we need them now. Mm. Then they could, yes, they could go on to other existence, to other experiences. But, I mean, it's our opportunity as well. And it goes on. I mean, the most advanced beings in the solar system live on Saturn, the planet Saturn. And they live for thousands of years. They have a huge ovoid body, and they can split their consciousness into thousands of parts. I mean, this is, you know, we couldn't even conceive of that.
No,
I struggle.
For now.
But I mean, everything, you know, what is consciousness? A planet is a conscious being. This is another reason why it's a crime, the way we treat the Earth or the Mother Earth, because she is a living entity. The sun is a living entity. So is a galaxy. It goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
To a point that we can know of these things, but we may not be able to interpret it because it's beyond our scope at our present time of evolution. So anyway, the subtle realms. So, you know, if you've murdered someone, you will undoubtedly will probably go down to the lower realm. And then you get the choice peoples, and you know, you've got there are four realms below, and seven, including the physical plane, six above. And level five is the level of the masters, and level six is very sparsely populated because there aren't many people who've advanced to that point. And
maybe that's why them other guys are hanging about then.
Yeah, for now.
There's nobody in six.
There are some.
There are some.
I mean, even the spiritual hierarchy, I think they may be in the low thousand, but certainly it's a very small proportion when you look at the number of people who live on the physical plane today.
Mm.
You know, it's a mere...
Oh, yeah.
So if it was in the mental realms, then, and if you wanted to, I know, like everyone's a classroom anyway, it's got different experiences and whatever. If we wanted to, say, go from level three to level four, we can do that, can we? We can move up the planes if we wanted to.
We can. If it's say a level four or five is higher than our normal vibration, if you like, as I can put it, you'd be able to visit there probably for a short space of time, but you wouldn't be able to stay there for too long, because at the end of the day we'll be on a vibrational level that suits us.
Right, okay.
But then it's all about coming back, and then you learn the lessons, you know.
Yeah.
You know, as you sow, so shall you reap. You know, that is the law of karma.
Is it true then? Sorry, Alison, let's carry on.
Yeah, you're given the experiences, or let me say opportunities, because nothing is ever set in stone. This is another fallacy that everything that happens is your destiny and you can't change it. You can. You can change your destiny. What you can't change are the lessons you need to learn, but it's how you handle them. And if you handle them in the right way, then you'll never have to go through that experience again.
Okay.
And a lot of people simply don't, and they don't understand, why is this happening to me? It's so unfair, et cetera, et cetera. You know, why is one person so lucky and another person not lucky? Or, you know, that, you know, it's unlimited, all the questions that one can ask about the human plight. But I'm afraid it's a lot of it is our own doing in previous lives. And we won't know about our previous lives until we've reached a certain level of evolution when we're not going to be affected by it or keep living in the past or wonder how we died and, you know, you don't move on.
Mm. So is it possible then for, say, the evil in the low astral realms to go up another level, to actually to appear in the spirit realms? You know, like, you know, you've got the low astral realms, they're not natural anyway.
They were put there, yes, to accommodate the choice.
The murder, yeah, all the yeah, people. Yeah, most of it. could they actually, like, go up to the spirit worlds for a certain time? Would they say, no, you're staying here? Or are they allowed to go, yeah, I want to go up there for, you know, to look around? Would they be allowed to?
There is a natural barrier between the realms. It's not a sort of free-for-all. Mm. But on the whole, the really evil people, you see, they're bound. They're trapped there as well. Some people are trapped. In fact, Dr. King said that a third of all Nazis from the Second World War are entombed in the lower astral realms and will never reincarnate on this planet again.
Mm.
So that should tell you something.
Yeah. So
now, you were asking about ghosts, weren't you?
Yeah, Lee was, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is, I would say, someone who has got too many attachments and can't escape. They haven't moved on to the realm they should go to. And doing an exorcism, for instance, or sending them energy will help them to move on in their journey. Because once you leave the physical plane, you have to go. You know, you have to leave it. You can't turn back. It's, you know, you just have to move on to the next stage. And some people don't realize that. And if you have a sudden death, for instance, in an accident, some people may not even realize that they're dead. Because you know, in some instances, you retain all your faculties. If you die of illness, for instance, and you go into a coma, you'll then wake up on another realm, and that's a different position to someone who had a sudden death and thinks they're still alive. And so, and also they're attached to the place that they were living in, which is why some of these old houses, they just don't want to go. And, you know, sometimes they can be vengeful. You know, you get these poltergeists. But at the end of the day, they all have to move on.
Mm.
It's part of experience. It's a part of the experience cycle.
Where do animals fit into all this?
Right. Very good question. Animals on the whole are a lower evolutionary status, and they belong to more of a group soul. So they'll go back into perhaps the great pool of you know, the group soul, like cats, dogs, and all other animals like that. But individuals, I think, can break away, and then they'll become a higher life form. Like if an animal has really served a person and really helped the human race in some way, like some of these dogs who will help to, you know, help soldiers in the wars or help the blind. I think that karmically, even a little soul like that will have the chance to evolve, because everything is about evolution and expression. They have to learn individuality as opposed to just living by instinct. You see, each cycle has a different lesson to learn. This is something that I've worked out. Animals have to learn attachment to break away from instinct. Where we start, we have too many attachments, and we have to learn detachment. That is the big lesson we have to learn. And when we have mastered that, I don't mean being cold, but having this love for all and not being possessive, jealous, angry, and all that. Once we've mastered that aspect of our path, we then can move on to the next higher path. Mm. So it's all about evolution.
So, so where do, obviously, if everyone's, hopefully everyone's moving up the levels to the, you know.
So yes.
Where do the, obviously you call it a soul then. Yeah. Where do these new souls get introduced and where do they come from?
Well, that is a very good question, and I don't think we've been given the full answer, but I mean, there has to be a finite number.
Yeah, unless you get to seven and start again.
And I think that there must be a higher proportion of individuals on the subtle realms as compared to the number of souls on the physical plane.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I think a lot of people, a lot of individuals are now wanting to reincarnate as much as possible prior to the new age. And so we're getting quite a mixture of people, you know, good and bad, but it's all experience because their soul is still trying to guide them on the right path.
Hmm.
Well, you could tell the new age is coming in by the, you know, all the stuff now. You've got these vaccines, the food is poisoned, you poison your water. They're trying now to, you know, it's crazy now. It's, they are trying to stop these waves of people coming in to, you know, make a difference to people's lives. You know,
yes,
how many vaccines do you see the baby have now until he's 10? Oh, yeah,
no. So what happens
it's amazing.
If, you know, if so we've got all these souls. Say we've got all these souls on the earth. Let's just say a number just for ease then. Say we had 1 million souls on the earth. That was all the souls that were on the earth, for instance. And the earth is destroyed. Where do them souls go next to do this journey?
If the earth is destroyed, well, the earth won't be destroyed. But there is another planet within this solar system that will take all the discarnate soul, and it's in the realm of waiting. We haven't got full details about it, other than the fact that it exists. And there's one theory that it's actually behind the sun, running in tandem with the Earth, but it just hasn't been spotted. And there's a professor who actually looked into this, and he thinks that it has appeared every now and then. And there's evidence scientists looking through their telescopes and have suddenly seen a strange planetary body peeping out from behind the sun, which then disappears again. And it certainly isn't Venus or Mercury. So,
I've called it the Freddy Flintstone land. You know, back to caveman.
Yes,
you know,
that's right.
We're all going back. Yeah, back to Freddy Flintstone and Barney Rubble and that. Yeah, that's where you're going. Well, sorry. Hello. Most people go. So, yeah.
But Andrew,
we're going to start again, aren't we, Alison? So,
can I just ask you how long you carrying on with our chat?
We're pretty much done now, are we?
Pretty much done now. Pretty much done now, Alison.
Okay. Well, when are you going to put this out? Or are you doing it in segments?
No. Oh no, it'll be one show. It'll be out in one show, Alison, all in one go. So
yeah, it'll probably be next Saturday, I think.
Saturday. So I mean, this will be really good
this weekend, don't we?
So. Yeah, obviously, this would be good. Maybe to put this podcast onto yours, Alison, so other people can listen to it.
Ah.
You know, obviously, people can if you want, you put it onto your Third Sighted podcast. That's quite welcome because you know it's we have kind of an interest, don't we? So all paranormal stuff. So
I'm very impressed. You've got 2,000 followers. I think that's really great. Are they all around the world?
Yes.
Yeah, mostly in America. Which is strange.
What was the last count, Lee, we had of the followers?
Oh, that's really good.
About to nearly 3,000.
Nearly 3,000 now. So it goes all around the world. America, Australia, New Zealand, all over the place, don't you?
Yeah, we're predominantly, like I say, paranormal, aren't we? But we stray into these other, you know, these realms and stuff every now and again where, or something just comes up in conversation. You know, it's one of the stories that we're doing where you don't quite fit. And that's why I was asking you about ghosts, because You know, I'm not quite sure where they fit into this, you know, all this stuff.
There is another aspect of that which we didn't touch on, and that's the Dalek kingdom.
Yeah, we'll have to get you on next time when you explain that one, because how long have we been in the show now? Over a year now?
Yeah.
And it's kind of grown and grown, and you know what I mean? But I think this is what you was saying earlier, Alison, is that we need to get the truth out there. You know, we need to get this information out there.
This is the way now, isn't it?
Yeah, if one Absolutely. Person can get this truth, and just one, you know, we've done something, you know, yes. one person.
You see, the great thing is that all our achievements help the whole. One, you know, every individual helps the whole for better or for worse. Mm,
yeah.
So even if it doesn't seem like we're doing much, we are. We're putting this energy into the mind belt, and that'll inspire other people to search for the truth.
Absolutely. Well, just one more question on the realms before we let you go.
Okay.
You've interested in that, Alison.
Yeah. Well, it's more about this because I'm from my interpretation of consciousness and souls and all this is just energy. You know, I don't see energy as being good or bad. I just see energy as being energy.
Yeah, well, it's true. Yeah.
Okay. So, like, you know, for instance, say electricity, you know, for example, obviously you've got electricity that could go to a life support machine, yeah, and keep someone alive. You've got electricity that could go to an electric chair and kill somebody. So, but you wouldn't say the electricity is the problem here. You know, it's the, you know, so the energy is just the energy.
Use of it.
Still there.
Yeah, and the use of it. So to that extent, then the consciousness, you know, if you're a murderer and such like and all this, that surely that's a state of mind rather than being like, you know, a physical, you know, human with a soul and all that. The soul, not necessarily, is anything to do with your state of mind. So what makes the decision on who or what makes the decision on where people go when they die, you know, to the lower realms? And
it's your higher self.
What if someone was like, you know, some sort of like, you know, some, you know, massive guru and all the rest of it, but, you know, he'd be doing like, he lived in a monastery on a hill and lived there for all his life and, you know, never ate a chocolate bar, all that. He's really good. He's definitely going to level 6, you know, straight away. Boom.
Yeah, he thinks he does.
But the day before he dies, he kills someone, whether it was, you know, whether it was an accident or whatever, he just kills somebody.
Well, it depends on his intent.
Yeah.
It all does come all
right,
down
well,
to
he
intent,
wants to kill this person. You know? He says, right, I know I'm on my way out and I don't like this person. He's giving me jip, you know, all the time. He's been waving chocolate bars under my nose, whatever. And
I'll tell you something. Mahatma Gandhi was a great Indian sage, and he helped to bring about the independence of India.
Mm.
There's a story that a man approached him and he said he killed a Muslim. What can he do? Because he had bitter regrets. And Mahatma Gandhi said to him, raise a Muslim child as your own. So it's a way of balancing the karma. If you can acknowledge what you have done wrong, it's a first step.
Mm.
It's where people refuse to see that they've done anything wrong that makes the lesson harder.
Mm. I'd have a big issue with that with Gandhi, because I don't believe that children are any religion.
I don't think children
should be any religion.
No.
To see it in the context of...
Yeah, I see his sentiment, right? But, so...
Children are children. I totally agree with you. Mm. But, I mean, you know, this war is still going on, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's so-called division. It's just divide and conquer. That's what's going on.
I know. So, we have to stop that. Oneness is what we want. Oneness.
So this monk that's living in his retreat kills somebody on purpose, right? Last day of his life, he's lived 90 years, he's been good all up to that second that he killed that person, just before he died. Where does he go and who makes the decision on where he goes?
Him.
Well, I think, gosh, that's a difficult one to answer. I don't think someone who's a level 5 would ever be in the karmic position that he would kill someone.
No.
Hmm.
It just wouldn't happen.
Well, what if he had, you know, like, because we have illnesses, don't we, like dementia and stuff like that, so.
I mean,
if you live 60 years really good in that, the last 10 years you get dementia and start, you know, attacking people and that. Not, you know, because not something you would do if you had your full faculties. I would have thought
that's maybe being brought about by something else. So,
but who makes the decision?
It's karma as well. It's everything. Yeah. It all boils down to karma. And even if someone, say, who's had a stroke, they can still have, some people can maintain an awareness and other people don't, and yet it's the same illness, if you like. I don't think one can be dogmatic, but I mean, someone who's advanced, I would say, wouldn't get dementia. They'd be in control of their faculties. I think we have to do a lot ourselves to progress. It's not going to just fall into our laps. We have to make the effort.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, I agree with that.
It's got to be in the right way. And we do the best we can and learn and, you know, try not to make mistakes. I mean, sometimes we're presented with difficult problems. It's karmic as well. Because, you know, what we've done in the past, and in the end, it all comes home to roost. And that's, but people don't realise that. And so they go round and round in circles.
It sounds like this, the way the Egyptians saw it, almost these scales where they balance, you know, they put your hat, they put on the scale, don't they?
Yes.
And the feather.
If it balances with a feather, right. You're all right. So as long as you've done a lot of good, you know, you can get away with some bad.
It's never about getting away with anything because you have to learn.
All right, put it another way then. You've done some bad.
Yes.
But then you do loads of good to make up for it. Does that
I think that
you can transmute certain negative karma.
I'm obviously asking for myself here. I just want to know where I'm going.
Comfort, is that it?
I think this is where the reincarnation comes in, because then obviously you can come back and obviously face these issues again and, you know, pay back the karma, and this is what, you know, that's why it's so good.
You have to recognize it. And it's easy to say, well, don't feel sorry for yourself, and why is it happening to me? You know, sooner or later, you know, a lesson can come back. It doesn't necessarily come back in the same way, or you might have a realization very quickly. But you will, whatever it is, you will have to make amends. You may have a debt to an individual, and some way, somehow, you have to repay that debt to an individual. You have to learn the lesson. What to do, not to do, and go through the minefield of life.
Absolutely.
But if you do the right thing, then I think it makes your life path easier in the end. It might quicken your karma, so that lessons are suddenly thrust upon you sooner than if you just went through life, you know, without any awareness. But. That really is all what it's about.
Yeah. Learning. Fascinating. And I think I've learned something today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still probably as clear as mud, but.
He was sitting on the fence. He's about to jump off a bit now, Alison. So hopefully, hey, this bit, thing good about me, Lee, we're doing a podcast, you know, we just, you know, banter and have a good laugh, don't we? And try and get the truth out there. And this is what it's all about. So.
Yes, that's great.
So, we just need to thank you very much for coming on.
Can you tell us as how to get hold of you, Alison?
Yes.
Your website, and, you know, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, you know.
Well, they can email me. You've got my email address.
Yeah, I've got your email address, yeah.
Yeah, I'll put that in the show description then.
Yeah.
Yes, certainly. I'll be happy to answer questions and perhaps we'll talk again.
Absolutely, yeah.
Indeed,
yeah.
I'm sure we'll get some questions on this.
Oh, we're definitely going to get some questions. I think we're going to have it back on, Alison. It'll be a pleasure.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
I think you're a star now, Alison. That's it. You know, you could be do you want to become a member of the podcast? So, yeah. Lee's intrigued now. So.
But thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Alison. Take care. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.